الشيطان الرجيم. إذ قال الله يا عيسى إني متوفيك ورافعك إلي ومطهرك من الذين كفروا وجاعل الذين اتبعوك فوق الذين كفروا إلى يوم القيامة ثم إلي مرجعكم فأحكم بينكم فيما كنتم فيه تختلفون. فأما الذين كفروا فأعذبهم عذابا شديدا في الدنيا والآخرة وما لهم من ناصرين. وأما الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فيوفيهم أجورهم والله لا يحب الظالمين. ذلك نتلوه عليك من الآيات والذكر الحكيم. إن مثل عيسى عند الله كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب ثم قال له كن فيكون. الحق من ربك فلا تكن من الممترين. فمن حاجك فيه من بعد ما جاءك من العلم فقل تعالوا ندعو أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءنا ونساءكم وأنفسنا وأنفسكم ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنة الله على الكاذبين. إن هذا لهو القصص الحق وما من إله إلا الله وإن الله لهو العزيز الحكيم. فإن تولوا فإن الله عليم بالمفسدين. قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله. فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولد، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وقائد الغر المحجلين، حشرني الله وإياكم في زمرته يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيسر مركز الدعوة والإرشاد في المنطقة الشرقية أن يرحب بكم أجمل ترحيب ونحييكم بتحية الإسلام. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. ويطيب لنا أن نقدم علما من أعلام الدعوة إلى الله، رجل رهن نفسه في الدعوة إلى الله وقام بذلك ويشهد كل من عرف عنه وهم كثير ولله الحمد، هو الشيخ أحمد ديداد. ولعل الدكتور زغلول النجار يتفضل فيقدمه لكم، فجزاكم الله وجزاهم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters in Islam and in humanity, we greet you all in our Islamic way. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you all. And we take the golden opportunity to welcome here a leading authority in comparative religion, Brother Sheikh Ahmed Dibar, who has taken all the trouble to travel all the way from South Africa to here, the man who has been dedicating his life for the cause of Islam, and one who has perfected the study of comparative religion through his personal endeavor, a figure through his knowledge. Allah has guided a large number of non-Muslims. And Brother Sheikh Dibar is well known to all of you, and I should not waste much time in introducing him to you, but I do think that the topic needs a short introduction. The Quran or the Bible, which is the word of God. Many people may ask, why should we try to compare the Quran with the Bible? Why shouldn't we leave each follower of a belief happy with what he has? And here, I would like to emphasize that if one looks into himself, or into the animate or inanimate beings around himself, into this world at large, he can see unity in diversity. Unity that shows itself in everything, in the living cell, in the structure of the atom, in the unity of matter, in the equality of energy and matter, in the unity of the solar system, in the unity of the galaxies, a unity that testifies for the unity of the Creator. And if the Creator, all glory be to Him, is one, with no partners, associates, parallels or similitudes, so the religion has to be one. There cannot be two religions. But sadly enough, if one looks around in this disturbed world, we can see very many religions. And sadly enough too, every follower of a religion, every follower of a belief, assumes for himself to have the only access for the fount of truth. And out of sheer fanaticism or blindness, he does not want to see what other people have. If that is one, religion has to be one. And religion has to be absolutely divine. If it has been infiltrated with human ideas, it becomes completely taken out of its divine context. The religion is established on the basis of a large number of unseen facts. We are asked to believe in God, and we have not seen Him yet. We are asked to believe in His angels, and none of us has seen them yet. We are asked to believe in life after death, and no dead man has come back to us to tell us his experience. We are asked to believe in resurrection after death, and none of us has experienced that yet. We are asked to believe in accountability, in judgment, in eternity in the life after to come. We are asked to believe in paradise and hell, and none of us has the ways and means to testify the truthfulness or the untruthfulness of that. So a religion has to be a revelation from God. And the only criterion that should be taken to discriminate between a true religion and a false religion is the authenticity of the revelation that has come down with that religion. The only revelation within the hands of human beings today that has been kept intact in exactly the same lines that has been revealed with word to word and letter to letter to the minutest detail is the Holy Quran. While all the previous revelations although we believe in their originality, they have either been totally lost or distorted by human infiltrations. From this point, Brother Sheikh Ahmad Didat has been taking the trouble to prove to these misguided people that the main cause of their misguidance is that they have lost the divine guidance, they have lost the true divine revelation from God, and if they would like to seek for it, we have to find it in the Holy Quran. And hence, in this tonight's lecture, the Quran or the Bible, which is where to God. I think Brother Didat will detail this in a way no other person here can do that. But before I give him the stage, I would like to ask you, in the name of Islam, in the name of the one God in whom we believe in the name of the peacefulness of that meeting, to try to keep as quiet as possible. No clapping, because clapping is not an Islamic tradition. No shouting any slogans at all. We would like to keep that place as peaceful as we can, as disciplined as we can, as organized as we can, so that we can gain the greatest benefit of what Brother Sheikh Ahmad Didat is going to tell us tonight, and I'll leave the stage for him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد. اللهم يا مفتح الأبواب ويا مسبب الأسباب ويا دليل الحائرين توكلت عليك يا رب العالمين وأفوض أمري إلى الله إن الله بصير بالعباد. Mr. Chairman and my dear brother, the subject of this evening's talk, the Quran or the Bible, which is God's word, is not of my choosing. This title has been imposed upon me by an Arab Christian, a Palestinian Christian of Arab origin, who now resides in America, by the name of Dr. Anis Sharosh, born in Nazareth in Palestine in 1948 when the Jews, you know, attacked the Palestinians. He fled and he went to America and he settled down in America. He's running a mission of his own in America. He had challenged me once before on the subject of, is Jesus God? He was trying to prove that Jesus Christ, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, is God Almighty who came down to earth as a man. We had this debated in the Royal Albert Hall in London. And subsequently, he wanted to make a comeback, so he challenged me on this topic, the Quran or the Bible, which is God's word. And we will discuss the pros and cons of this topic tonight. The Bible is the Bible of God's word. I get this idea. I got it first from a book written by an American. This is the book. The title of this book is the Bible the Word of God? Which means the Christians themselves are asking the question. This question was first asked by the Christians in America, and they published this book, written by a certain Dr. Graham Scroggie. Dr. Graham Scroggie. In reply to this, I wrote a book called Is the Bible God's Word? And in this book is available, I understand, in the foyers. This book, which is now also translated into Arabic, you have an Arabic version of it, is available in the foyers. Is the Bible God's Word? Now in it, I explain to you, my brothers as well as the non-Muslims, what is the Torah, what is the Zabur, what is the Injil. We have not the time to go into the details of that tonight. Tonight, this question has to be answered, the Quran or the Bible, which is Allah's Kalam. Now the amazing thing about the Quran is that anything that you want to prove, any charge that the unbeliever can bring against the Quran defends itself. if this book is from Allah, then Allah Ta'ala knows, He's omniscient, He's all-knowing, He knows beforehand the problems, the doubts that will creep in people's minds, and before you utter them, they are already answered. The answers are there. Now the subject, the Qur'an, or the Bible, the word Qur'an, where does the word Qur'an come from? The word Qur'an is in the Qur'an. See, the Qur'an names itself, Al-Qur'an. And it claims to be from Allah. The book itself claims that it is Allah's Kalam. I quote you from Surah Ar-Rahman, chapter 55, ayah number 1 and 2. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman wa'allama al-Qur'an. That it is Ar-Rahman, the merciful God, it is He who has taught the Qur'an. That is Allah's claim in the book. He says, this is coming from Allah ar-Rahman. And again, in Surah Jashiyah, that is chapter 45, ayah number 1 and 2, it says, تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم. This is the revelation of the book, is from Allah, it is from Allah, the exalted in power, full of wisdom. The Quran makes the claim itself that this, Allah says, this is my book, and it is I who have revealed it. He says, إِنَّا نَزَّلْنَا نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. It is for us to send down the revelation, the wahi, and it is for us to protect it. If it is Allah's kalam, Allah makes the claim. This is my book, and I am going to protect it. The Bible. The Bible. You see it written on the cover, the Holy Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. You see, this book, the Bible, is not a book. Though this word Bible comes from the Greek word Biblos. Biblos means the book. This Bible is not a book. It is a collection of 66 books. It's an encyclopedia. It is a library of 66 books put together, written by 40 different persons. 40 different authors. They have been writing books here, little booklet here, a page there, and they got it all together and they put it into one volume. Now they call it the Bible. But the word Bible is not in the Bible. In any Bible on earth, there are dozens and dozens of different versions of the Bible, but not a single one says, this is the Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. Nowhere does it say that the Bible is the word of God. Nowhere. The Quran makes a claim for itself that this is the Quran and this is from Allah. This book, the word Bible, is not to be found anywhere in the book itself. This is something that they have created and they put it on the cover. Nothing in the book. With regards to the Quran, Allah gives us a concrete test. How to know, how to verify whether this is Allah's kalam or not? He says in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, ayah number 23 and 24, he says, he challenges. So wa in kuntum, that if you have any doubts with regards to what we have revealed to our servants from time to time, but prove a surah in Muslim, then produce a surah like it. If you have any doubt that this is not Allah's kalam, that this is the work of Muhammad, Muhammad wrote this book, this man was an ummi, an unlearned person, he produced this book. In that case, you, with all your learning and your wisdom, surely you should be able to produce a chapter like it. وَدُعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And for your witnesses, besides Allah, if there's anyone, if you are speaking the truth, إِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا, so you will not be able to do it. وَلَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, you'll never, never be able to do it. وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي
فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Then prepare yourself for the fire. If you, out of just controlling mindedness, out of jealousy, prejudice, are prepared to reject this book of God, then Allah says, prepare yourself for the fire whose fuel is men and stones. It devours everything. All your fanciful ideas and desires will be burned. This is the challenge. 1,400 years now, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has sent this challenge, and the Arab Christian is reading it. He reads it. They read it in a textbook of literature, in Egypt, in the universities. If you want to master Arabic, you can't master Arabic without the Quran. This is the textbook, the touchstone of Arabic. It has preserved the Arabic language, protected the Arabic language. So, and they are masters of the language, the Christians. Learned men keep on referring to Lane's lexicon. Who is Lane? A Christian. We have to refer to him to find out the meaning of the word, meaning of Arabic word. The very first time I made a little attempt to want to learn Arabic, I went to a bookshop and purchased a book. And the title was Egyptian Arabic by Spyro Bailey. Who is Spyro Bailey? Christian. Writer. Written books on Arabic language. Who is he? Christian. I said, look, you have so many learned people. And this opponent of mine, Dr. Sharosh, is boasting that we have 10 million Arab Christians in the world. 10 million today. They are not extinct, that there's no Arab Christians, or what can we do? They're all Muslims. So the Muslims don't do just say you have 10 million Arab Christians, and the mother tongue is Arabic. The challenge still stands today. Produce a surah like it, but you'll never be able to produce it. This is the challenge. Now, this book I refer to, written by Dr. Graham Scroggie, it is published by a leading Christian mission in America called the Moody Bible Institute. They went and published it, written by Dr. Scroggie. This book tries to prove that the Bible is Word of God. It is Allah's Kalam. It tries to prove. But amazing thing about the book, when you read it, you find that what they are trying to prove, the arguments that they bring forth, are arguments which go to disprove that it is the Word of God. Amazing! But the manner in which they do it, you know, the American is master of speech. I don't know if you heard some of the evangelists when they preach. They are masters of speech. And I quote you from page 22 and 23 in this book. Dr. Scroggie quotes a Dr. Joseph Parker. This man is quoting another man, another great authority on the Bible, Dr. Joseph Parker. He says, in trying to prove that this is Allah's Kalam, he says, what a book is the Bible? This is typically American. They also do praise it, like my brother Sharosh, you know, at the past meeting. He said, what a lovely bunch of people. This is typical American. You know, what a book is the Bible? In the matter of variety of content, you know, the different types of things that are contained in it. Variety of content. It says, whole pages are taken up with obscure names. Obscure names. Names you never heard before in your life, and you are not likely to hear them in the future. Obscure names. It says, more is told of the genealogy than of the Day of Judgment. Genealogy. You know who your father was, and your grandfather, and your great-grandfather, and up to the 60th generation. More is told about that than of the Day of Judgment. It says, more is told of the genealogy than of the Day of Judgment. Stories are half-told. Stories are half-told. And the nightfall means it gets about. Before we can tell where victory lay. So where is there anything in the religious literature of mankind to correspond with this? Where is there anything?
And the answer you will have to give, nowhere. Nowhere. There is nothing to correspond with this. There is nothing to equal this. But what is he telling you? What has he told you? You see, we are part of the world. Beautiful world. A beautiful necklace of world. World, world, world. Beautiful construction. You know what he has been telling you? That this whole book is a hodgepodge. That's what he told you. But he told you in such a beautiful language that you think, ah, I have to prove his case. Now, let me analyze this for you. Let me analyze it. Number one, he said, pages are taken up, full pages are taken up with obscure names. Let me give you a sample from the book, from the Bible. And I'm quoting from one of the books of the Bible. In this one there are 66 books. The Roman Catholics have a book, the Bible, but 73 books. We won't go into the pros and cons of the 73 and the 66. That's not for us tonight. I'm giving you the names now. Obscure name. Mizraim, you got Ludim. Anamim. Lehabim. Naptuhim. Patrusim. Kasluhim. You know, in a crowd of 50,000, if I was addressing this in the Madison Square Garden, and if there are 50,000 people there, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, and if I ask, is there anyone who has any one of these names? Anyone! And I can put my neck on the block to say there's not a single one in this whole vast audience of 50,000, if there are 50,000 people there with the name, Ludim, Anamim, Lahabim, Naptuhim, Patrusim, Kasluhim. No, not one. You'll never hear the name again in your life. You hear it from my lips, you'll never hear again from any Christian or Jew in your life. Obscure name. But you know who these people are? Are there any Palestinian brothers here? Anybody Palestinian? Any Palestinian? Masha. You know who these people are? They are your grandfather. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Jewish book says. The Jewish book says that these are from him till the Palestinian. You. And you don't know your grandfather's name? Amazing. But I can assure you, you don't have to be ashamed of that. Shorosh, who is a Palestinian, he also doesn't know. But these are his grandfathers. You know, you should know your grandfathers and your progeny, where you come from. These are the grandfathers of the Palestinians. And no Palestinian knows it. Even the Christian Palestinian, he doesn't know. So he ups your name. And more is told of the genealogy than of the day of judgment. I said, now, I'm going to start telling you the name. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. And Judah begat Pharez and Zara of Tamash. 66 names I'm going to give you. 66, can you imagine? No. What I have done is, I make things easy for you, all of you. The genealogy of Jesus Christ is given to us in two books. The first book of the New Testament called the Gospel of St. Matthew, he gives us the genealogy of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. This is the genealogy, all the names of his fathers and grandfathers of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Luke gives us another genealogy of Jesus Christ. These are all the names of his fathers and grandfathers. Can you imagine? This is the list. This is the list. Between the two, they give Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, 66 fathers and grandfathers. A man who has no father, look, the Christian says so, that he had no earthly father. Before Mary and Joseph came together, she was found with child by the Holy Ghost. There's nothing. We say that Allah by the created Isa alayhi salam by a miracle. وَإِذَا قَدَىٰ أَمَرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. A man who has no father, they give him 66 fathers and grandfathers. And out of these two lists, no two names are identical. Two different lists. God Almighty is inspiring Matthew, supposed to, and is inspiring Luke, supposed to, And within the two lists, there is only one name common to two. One name. And that name is Joseph the Carpenter. And the Joseph the Carpenter is not supposed to be there. He is supposed to be the Son of God. But God himself is not in the list. Imagine the length in genealogy. God is supposed to be the father of Jesus Christ, according to the Christians. But God is not in the list. So what is he telling you? What is he telling you? If he is the inspirer, he tells Matthew to write, give this list, and he gives Luke another list, and he himself keeps himself out. What is he telling you? I leave it to you. The stories are half told. Stories are half told. I'm only giving a commentary on the statement made by Dr. Joseph Parker to prove that the Bible is God's word. He's proving it. I'm using the very same thing, and I want you to judge for yourself whether it's proving or disproving. The American, he reads it, and he left it out. He says, you see, he proved the text. The Englishman, the Britisher reads it and he thinks he's proved the case. He said, stories are half told. Half told. And the night falls. Before we can tell the victory leg. What's the outcome? What is the result? Unknown. Let me give you an example. Matthew. The first book of the New Testament. Matthew. Chapter 27. Verses 52 and 53. After the alleged crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, alleged what they say, crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, Matthew says, and the graves were opened. You know, graves, people who bury people, the graves opened up, like they were Qiyamah. The graves opened in Jerusalem, the grave, in the cemetery, the graves opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, were dead, were raised. The people came out of the grave. And coming out of the grave after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. They marched into Jerusalem, these people from the grave. What were they wearing? Nothing. What? Shroud. What were they wearing? From the grave. The bones had rotted. Or the skeletons, what were they wearing and doing left, right, left in Jerusalem? And what happened? Nothing. Stop. Not one word more. What happened to them? Did they go and search for the wife and the children and the bones? What did they do? They say, walking the streets out of the grave? Or they went back to sleep? No, nothing. Did they go back? Why would they want to go back? What happened? Out of the 27 books of the New Testament, not another author ever touched the subject. And yet, Matthew tells us that Jesus Christ, he wrote the donkey to Jerusalem. Mark says he wrote the donkey to Jerusalem. Luke says he wrote the donkey to Jerusalem. John says he wrote the donkey to Jerusalem. But people coming out of the grave and marching into Jerusalem, nobody speaks about it. And finished. That's all. It ends there. Not one word more by Matthew, or not by any other, another 26 books, not one word. The story is a half told, and the night falls before we can tell the victory lay. I quote you again another such incident from the book of Judges. This is one of the books, so many books, 66 books. One of the books is called Judges, J-U-D-G-S, Judges, chapter 3, verse 31. It speaks there, one sentence there, one verse, it says, after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Palestinians. This one Jewish boy, he killed 600 Palestinians. With an ox goad. What is this ox goad? So I said, now look, I want to make things easy for you. I brought it for you. You see, this ox goad is mentioned, the first time I read about this ox goat was in the book of Acts, in the Bible, book of Acts, chapter 9, where Paul is on his way to Damascus to persecute the early Christians, and he sees a vision. And in the vision, he hears, he says, Jesus Christ speaking to him in the Hebrew language. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? Why are you worrying me? Why are you harassing me? Why kickest thyself against the prick? And my ears picked up. What do you mean? What is this? Because the only idea I had, you know, according to my education, was that this has sexual connotation. What is Jesus talking about, a God speaking against, I won't use the word anymore. And I've been asking Christians earnestly, what is this? What is this? And nobody could tell me. What is this that he was speaking against? Until I find out that this is a cattle prod. You know, in the East, when the ox cart is moving, the thing slows down, so they prod the poor thing. They prod it so the thing runs a little faster for a little while and slows down and prod it again. This is a stick with a little spike nail in the front. That's called an ox goad or a cattle prodder, or you can call it anything. With this stick, you were told us now, the Shamgar, he killed 600 Palestinians. In this Jewish book, you are told that this is what you are worth. You're Palestinian, one Jewish boy can kill 600 of you with this stick. You know, with this stick, you can't destroy 600 snowmen. You know, snowmen, you make a snow, children make, you can't destroy 600 with that. But now, once you accept that, as a Christian, you have to accept this as the word of God. That a Christian, this is God's word. If God says so, he did it. One Jew, he killed 600 of you with this stick. How do you feel? You think you have a chance? You have a chance of getting Palestine back. If this is your faith, one Jewish boy can kill 600 of you, and the 600 is 600. It's not somebody wrote 6 and somebody else came and added a 0, make it 60, and another guy came along and added another 0, make it 600. No, no, no. The Jews didn't know the 0. When they wrote this, they had no knowledge of the 0. The 0 was shared by the Arabs to the Western world. That's right. The time when they wrote it 600, in Hebrew of course, like S-I-X, 6, H-U-N-D-R-E-D, 100. They wrote it in Hebrew. 600 Palestinians were killed with an ox goat. I want to know what the Palestinians were doing. Surely they were selling something. Whether the Palestinians were waiting in a queue to destroy them with this ox goat? And how did they kill it? And did they run away? Did they kill 1, 2? That's 594, 98, 96. What are they doing? Don't they run for your life? If one Jew can kill 1, 2, 3, 4, 300 and still die, you're still waiting there to be slaughtered. And you don't even speak on him. You know, if you spat on this fellow, he would have suffocated. They're speaking. But no. I am asking, brothers and sisters, if they're listening, you believe that God gave you the story? This is the invention of the Jews. See? I give you another beautiful example of the Jewish James Bond. You know James Bond? This Ian Fleming has been this 007. You know James Bond, the film. I don't know if you've seen any. From Russia with Love and things like that. Now, where did this guy Ian Fleming get the idea from about James Bond? That whenever he goes anywhere, he sees a beautiful woman, he goes to bed with her. Any woman he sees, he goes into bed with her. You know, if you have seen this James Bond film, that's the whole thing. Any woman he sees, gone to bed. Where did he get this idea from? Oh, in the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse 1. I read it to you. Very short sentence. Then Samson went to Gaza. You know where the trouble is taking place now? Gaza. Same Gaza. He went there. Samson. This Jew went there and saw a harlot, a prostitute, a whore. He saw a harlot there and went in and to her and had sex with her. Why does God want to kill you? Huh? He's to give me employment idea that this is how you both have that mean. And he went and went in and to her. And God doesn't do anything. He doesn't tell him anything. Nobody says anything. No, he's a great man. He's a great hero. Thanks, sir. You heard about Samson and Delilah? You know, this guy, Cecil DeMille, he made this name known to us. Samson and Delilah. An epic, wonderful film. He spent millions to produce that film. A master of production. Then he produced David and Bathsheba. You'll never know about Bathsheba except seeing the film. Then you remember David and Bathsheba, Samson and Delilah. Mm-hmm. But this story ends here. He went in unto her. Finished. For your edification? For what? Why does God want to tell you that Samson went to Gaza and went into a prostitute and he went in unto her? In the word of God, God Almighty telling you this? For what? Then the same Samson, you know, he creates a problem for Cecil DeMille. He said, this Samson he found, I'm quoting again from the book of Judges, chapter 15, verse number 15 and 16. He says, he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. You know, this jaw of a donkey. And he killed 1,000 Palestinians with this jawbone. 1,000 of you. Do you believe that? With a jawbone of a donkey, what are the 1,000 Palestinians doing? I want to know. What are you doing, you Palestinians? Huh? 1,000! You don't even run for your life, man? Eh? 500 is still standing there, and what's he doing? And how does he kill? With a jawbone of a donkey, 1,000.
You tell me, God Almighty is according to you for 4 months. This is a Jewish conspiracy to terrify you Palestinians. That this is your faith. This is the God in store for you. You believe this? You have to behave. Jew is a superman. One Jew can kill 1,000 just like that with a jawbone of a donkey. That's your faith. Then he had another kid which Cecil DeMille couldn't reproduce. He couldn't do it. Samson now goes and he catches, again in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. He goes and catches 300 foxes. What is a fox in Arabic? He goes and catches 300 foxes in Palestine. There were 300 foxes moving around there. You can't catch 300 chickens. You know that? To catch 300 chickens, you have to catch one chicken. You know what it means to catch one chicken? Have you tried running and chasing the chicken and moving? You tried? This man went and caught 300 foxes. Did you see? What is that? See, since the demon, he couldn't visualize, he couldn't imagine how to do that, how to show people. Where are you going to get 300 foxes from? From all the zoos of the world, he couldn't get 300. Huh. And then what he did, he took them tail to tail, a pair, two at a time. He took this one's tail, that one, he tied it together. That made 150 pairs of foxes. And the foxes, they were just cooperating during the day. You tie tails of the foxes. They were trying to run away. They said, right, back, you know, this is Abu Rod. He's Bani Israel. Right, okay. So he made 150 pairs. Two. Then he put fire to them all. And they all waited. And he said to them, so now the Palestinian, you know, this field, the harvest is going there, and they ran straight. No, they didn't run away for life. When you burn the pig, you know, the poor thing, and they run in all directions, they go, mad! But no. This way for the Bani Israel, for the Jews. He says, go for the Palestinian field, and they ran and they burn all the fields of the Palestinians. You believe that? No, I'm asking, I'm sure. Huh? where did you get all these things? You believe that God gave you this? This is dictated by God.
Any Jewish fairy tale, fantasy, and you pass it on as the word of God.
And once you accept it, you finish.
Because psychologically you know that you are destined to be destroyed.
This is your fate. This is the fate that is laid by God upon you. Foxes cooperate, and the jobbers of babies cooperate, and a little stick will kill you, the magic stick.
What the Jews couldn't do to the Palestinians with the American cluster bombs in Beirut.
This one Jewish boy did the thing. So they say, no, let's leave this for a while.
This Quran is copied, is plagiarized from the Bible. Muhammad copied it. Ali Sharosh, in the last meeting, you know, he had a chance to make a statement. He said, this glorious book, the Quran, my language, 75% of it is copied from the Bible. 75% is copied from the Bible. In other words, he quotes the Quran. Allah didn't give it to him, but he quotes it from the Jews and the Christians. We won't go a language. 75% of it is copied from the Bible. 75% is copied from the Bible. In other words, he quotes the Quran. Allah didn't reveal it to him, but he forged it from the Jews and the Christians. We won't go into the argument about the Sunni and all that, let's forget that for a while. Allah meets the challenge head on. Head on is meeting the challenge. He said, I'm Jatun Gunastara, or you they say he forged it. Just whatever charge you have against the Quran, inshallah you'll find Allah Ta'ala himself defending himself. He doesn't need your presence for my presence.
The only thing he needs from us is go to the book and look for it.
It's but a laziness, our ignorance, that sometimes might get us caught up. But the answers are there. The Anjakunu Nastara, or who they say he caused it. Come, hold on, talk to the Surah in ministry. Come, produce a Surah. وَالْرُومَنُ سَتَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ and bring your witnesses or helpers. Besides Allah, in whom the Father came. Surah Yunus, chapter 10, ayah number 38. You see, for my non-Arab brothers, I don't know how easy it is for them to have access to the Quran that they can refer to these verses. It is a fine, good practice that anybody gives you a quotation from the Holy Quran, go home and check it out. Not that you doubt the speaker. Not for that reason, but just to verify. Check it out as a Yunus. Find Yunus. Where will you find Yunus? For a non-Arab religion. I don't know about the Arab. I haven't had time to find out how easy it is for him to repair, to find verses and chapters in the Quran. I don't know. But for the non-Arab, I know. I'm a non-Arab religion. Taking through the whole volume of an encyclopedia. The Quran is also an encyclopedia. Take you to Yunus, 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 Yunus. And when something happens, you page and page and page to 2,000 pages. This translation. How do you find it? See, in this particular Quran, it's being shown in the Quran, which has an Arabic text in this translation and a commentary tafsir. And at the end of it, there is a very comprehensive index. Anything you want to know on your fingertips. Anything you want to know, you want to know Yunus, where is Yunus, so and the why, just like in a dictionary, look for Yunus, and it tells you chapter 10. 10 is easy to find, every page is number. There is ayah number 38, 38 is easy to find. You want to know about marriage and the enemy. You want to know about divorce and the D. You want to know about hell and hell on the H. You want to know about Jesus and the J. What do you want to know? Everything on your finger. And this translation, which is available in the past, the English is so superb that the Westerner, when you read, he can't believe that an Oriental could have written that language. As if it's a new inspiration, it is not. But as if it's a new inspiration, and you do not have to read Shakespeare or Milton to improve your English. This will do the job for you and for your children.
And this is a best reference book. When you meet Christian friends,
your co-workers, your employees, call them home for a cup of tea, give them tea and concerns, if you know what I mean, and then show them the Quran, show them the high position that Jesus Christ and His mother occupied in this religion. Do that. But get the Quran, the translation. You Arabs don't need it. You understand it directly. But when you want to talk to somebody, you need a translation. Because in your own world, you can make a hash of it. You understand it for yourself, but to explain it to the non-Muslim, very, very difficult. If you don't use the right terminology. So for that, get the Quran, and it's the best investment that you will be able to make. And it's very cheap, very cheap. So, if the Quran is paused, 75% is copied from the Bible. So I'm asking the question, what is here to forge? Is there anything worthwhile forging? Remember, something worthwhile, that you copy somebody, and you say, I did it. It must be worthwhile that you copy somebody as owner. That's my work. Stealing somebody else's writing, this is my work. What is here to forge? I said, in this debate, I had with this man, Jimmy Swaggart, in America. I had his books with me, his publication, beautiful publication. He writes good, strong condemnation of evil. He wrote a book on incest. Incest, he wrote a book on incest. This is the dark stain on our society. I hope you know what incest is. Father and daughter. Having sexual relationship. Son and mother. Father and mother-in-law. Brother and sister. That's for incest. Here in this book he gives us 10 cases of incest from the Holy Bible. 10 cases, as if the textbook on incest. Now not one of these is reproduced in the Quran. And Muhammad copied. Pornography. Pornography of the highest order. You know, I challenged him to read certain verses. He read and I gave him $100, if you remember, if you saw the tape. But pornography, what he writes here, I was telling him, explaining to him, I said, you know, you can ask what this thing does. I said, if you eat junky food, you become a junkie. And if you read junky stuff, your mind becomes junky. And the guy was sweating. He was sweating. I have proof of that on YouTube. He was sweating when I'm telling him all this. Because he was guilty of it. He said, but really, I didn't even know. I knew. I'm going to say, he said, you know, you are going to serve me what? You will be placed, you know, to a prostitute. And you are doing nothing, nothing. You are a pervert. Not only just a sexual maniac, but you are a pervert. But that woman, the prostitute, said, he said, look, I would like to have him around my children. For another. John Bernard Shaw, one of the great playwrights of England, he said, the Bible, he said, keep it under lock and key. Your children must not have access to it. It is the most dangerous book on earth. Keep it under lock and key. But I can't help it. I have to show it to you. I have to carry it around with me. Not one of these things, what you read there, is reproduced in the Quran. Not one. He's written Sodom and Gomorrah, homosexuality, the preacher, her. This book, the Bible says, he describes the world's first, what they call it, consorial artist. Consorial artist. You know what that? These people who hate this. You know, nice, the women, they make funny hairstyles, and some men too, you know. There are different types of hairstyles being created, and these people who do their job, they call them consorial artists. They call them not hairdressers. What do you call them? Barber. Barber. You know barber? Halla. You know halla? Now, the Bible says that God Almighty, you know, He has the desire of becoming a halla.
I will only quote.
I will add a word.
In the book of Isaiah. In the Bible, chapter 7, verse 20. It says, in the same day, the Lord, the Lord is God, Jehovah, the Lord will shave with a higher razor. You have a higher razor than somebody? Because we have a woman of winter, he is a higher one, and he is going to shave with a higher razor. He goes from beyond the river, the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the leg. The head and the hair of that leg. Who Allah is going to shave? What are you talking about? What blasphemy? And the hair of the leg, you're going to shave up to how high? I don't know. It doesn't say. How high are you going to go? Whether you start at the part of the knee or you're going to go to the thigh and beyond, I don't know. But he says here, on the hair of the leg, and you also remove the beard. For what I ask you, Allah wants to become a barber for what? They want to become a halal. But this is in the Jewish book. And we bring it up to the Christians, and the Christians are because of the word of God, everything. But the Jews say it must be from God. This is talking about a halal. It's a blasphemy, a prisoner of the highest order. Then they tell us that this God Almighty, you know, smoke come out of his nostrils. You know when you're being smokers? You know smokers? Yeah. You know, you pull and then from your nose you take out smoke. We look at the idea from. Where do you learn that from? From the Bible. If Allah has a license to be, he says here, I'm quoting you from the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verses 9 to 13. It says, smoke came out from his nostrils. Allah's nostrils. You know, smoke came out. You know, like you do. You know, that's how the smoke came out of his nostrils. And devouring fire from his mouth, dragon. You know, dragon, the Chinese dragon? Same dragon, the dragon, you know? From his mouth, fire came out. Boy, that I did. Cold were killing by cold. You know, cold was built up. Allah has made me bold with that. What are you talking about? And you say, Allah Barik Allah is telling you to write about him. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode up on a cherub, a young virgin angel. He was riding her. Who Allah is riding a cherub. And he flew by riding a cherub. Cherubs are the virgin angels. See, you have a mature angel, according to the word. In a grown woman, little woman is great, but now when you have a very tender one, very young one, they call a chew, and he's riding her, and he's coming in his head. This is in the holy book of the Jews, which the Christians have inherited as the word of God. And he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness come over the wind. Dark waters and thick clouds were beside. From the darkness before him, clouds, or the thing that falls. Now they're turning into a lion. From a dragon now, they make him into a lion. Allah Barik. In the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse 10. He says, they shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. Roar! He will roar. Allah will roar like a lion. When you roar, then the sun shall come trembling from the west. Lord will also roar from Zion. And that will be what you do with Allah. And Allah is telling you this. So right there she says, I'm going to roar like a lion, I'm going to terrify the people. Well, this is symbolic. As a symbolic of what? Is this the way to bring down Allah to this level? As a barber, as a roaring lion, flying upon the angel, riding them. Then this God Almighty, the pure and holy God, they say, he tells his prophet, he says, I will rebuke your descendants, Malachi chapter 2 verse 3, and spread dung in your faces. You know, dung? Dung is usually used for cow excreta, or the cow they call it dung. But in human excreta, you call it something else. You know, the common word. I won't use it. Allah will spread dung on the faces. You know that stuff. The one you mop out with that, you know, you want to wash yourself, you know, use toilet paper and then you want to wash it again. That will Allah will take and put it on the face. And he will spread dung on the face, on your face, the dung of your fallen feet. Then he tells his prophet, Ezekiel, chapter 4, verse 12, that he must bake his cake with human dung. And he must, the dung, fresh dung that comes out in your very sight. And when it's excreted, that type of thing. You must take and mix it with your barley flour and with your barley cake, and then you must eat it. Allah telling his prophet to do that. Little wonder that in England at the present moment, this article appeared, ban Bible call for glorifying violence in sex. It's a ban the Bible. It is the most dangerous religious book on earth. Pornography is the highest order. And this woman is making a plea in England. She says, look, you want to ban this book, Lady Chatterley's Lover, and that book, she says, this Bible should be banned. It's a Christian lady in Ireland. She says, ban the Bible. But of course, now if they ban the Bible, then there's nothing left. So they got to carry on. See, something, salvation depends on that. Now, Allah Ta'ala tells us about the Quran. What is the Quran in relationship with the Bible? Or with the previous scripture, with the previous revelation? Allah says, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ. This book, the Quran, it says, we have revealed to you in truth. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. This book is confirming the revelation that came before it. This book confirms the wahi that came before it. Confirming all the that I told you just now. And confirming what is to be confirmed. And wa muhaymin alayhi. And it is a quality control, a guardian of safety of that revelation. What is proof? The book will confirm. If the book says Allah is one, this book confirms Allah is one. If you say, وَلَا تَكْرِ الزِّنَاةِ, look, don't commit adultery, Allah will tell you, don't come anywhere near. Confirm. Don't steal, don't murder, confirm, confirm, confirm. But when you go beyond, when you invent lies against Allah, then Allah says, I have made this book as a quality control, as a touchstone of faith, of right and wrong. This is from Surah Maidah, you find in the Quran in the end, Maidah, in chapter 5, 5 is easy to find, look for ayah number 51, and you find this verse. Now let me show you how it confirms and how it gives quality control. One verse. I'm quoting from the book of Action. That is the second book of the Bible, chapter 31, verse 17. That this Allah Ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, the Bible says he rested. And this is to be a Sabbath, a holy day for the Jews. They are not to do any work on it. So he says, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Sabbath, Yom Kippur. Sign between me and the Bani Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He rested and now he is ready again for the second bout. Anything else? You know, 6 days hard work. You know, he made the heavens and the earth and he got tired of fatigue. Now he rested and he was refreshed. Now he is ready for the second inning, as they say in cricket.
Now, let's see what the Quran says. What the Quran says on the same topic? Same topic. From Surah Qaf, chapter 50, ayah number 35, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. And we have created the heavens and the earth and all between in 6 days, almost. In 6 days. So Allah tells us in the Quran what a day is. In another place Allah says, a day in the sight of Allah is 1,000 years of judgment. Another angle, he said, a day in the sight of God is 50,000 years of judgment. In other words, a day long doesn't mean a 24-hour day, every time. It is used in the Quran, it doesn't mean 24 hours. It could mean 24 hours, it could mean 1,000 years, it could mean 50,000 years, it could mean 5 million, anything. It is a stupendous period of time, yawm. So Allah created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. The Bible says, and the heaven and Allah created, and the morning and the evening was the first day. And again, the morning and the evening was the second day. He created the sun. And the morning and the evening was the third day. We're going out of the way to say if all this was done in 6 24-hour days. The Quran says, doesn't tell you 24-hour days, but it tells you what a day is. At times, 1,000. At times, 50,000. Means an indefinite, stupendous period of time. But the word is yours. في ستة أيام وما مسنا من لغوب. And he said, no weary, no tired, no fatigue in doing this creation. The other one says, and he rested and was refreshed. Tired, Allah. This is quality control. Allah doesn't say, you know, those fools, they're talking like this, like that. It's not like that. He just gives it to you. And no fatigue, no tiredness, no weariness ever overtakes Allah. This is the quality control. Then we read another quality control I give you in the book of Isaiah, chapter 20. Chapter 20, Isaiah, verse number 1 to 3. Isaiah is a prophet of God. And Allah Ta'ala tells him he must go naked, absolutely naked, before him, everybody, his mother, his sister, his daughter, absolutely naked, not even a G-string, must go for 3 years around. The prophet of God is made to go naked for 3 years before his mother, his sister, his daughter, and his nation. A prophet, 3 years he goes out naked. That's what God told him. Allah says in the Holy Quran, holy, hold on. إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء. Allah does not obey any sinful deed. This is quality control. You can't have to do such things to God. Quality control. Then Allah gives us a test. How are we to know this is the book of God or not, or that is the book of God or not? He gives us a test. In Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse 82, he says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. You do not consider the Quran is here. Fantasy, book of the Quran. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدَ خَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Had it been from anyone other than Allah, لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. You would have found in it many discrepancies, many contradictions, because no human being can remain consistent in his preaching, in his teaching, for 23 years of his prophetic life. No human being. Human beings, they have a tendency to change according to varying circumstances. This is the life. So this is the test Allah wants us to apply. To the Quran, apply to the Bible. We apply to the Bible. John, Gospel of St. John, chapter 17, verse number 12. Jesus said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Yeah, by the Ta'ala, like in the Quran, Allah said, you know, this is definitely a blessing. Allah is questioning him. He said, oh Jesus, did you tell your people to worship you and your mother besides Allah? Yeah, by the Ta'ala, I never did any such thing.
he might have done it with a minute. And as long as I was with them, I saw that they didn't do any cook, no blessing.
22,
Jesus says, yeah? Because while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. He's talking about his one Jew, his 12 disciples. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, meaning the genuine, that fellow who is of hell, Judas Iscariot. He lost none but one. Except one. I lost none but one. That is chapter 17 of John. You go to 18, next chapter, now we read that the saying might be fulfilled which is spoken. Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. None means not one. Not a single one. But he just told us in chapter 17 he lost one. Now he says he lost none. So what did he say? Did he say one or did he say none? The Christian was only a question of one. And you know, in a court of law, you talk like that. You bear testimony, evidence. You can be type of perjury. Very false witness. What did you say? You said just now none. He said yes. None before one. He said yes. But the judge will get frustrated. You said none, now you say one. You said none, now you say one. Are you mad? Type of false witness. But this is only one. I said, all right, it's only one. What about this? In the book of Quranic, which is the name of the book, chapter 9, verse 25, he tells us that Solomon, Hazrat Suleiman alayhi salam, he had 4,000 skulls of ox. Suleiman alayhi salam had 4,000 skulls of ox. In one king, another book of the Bible, the same God is telling man to another fellow what to write. He dictated to this guy who wrote it's an anonymous book called Two Chronicles. Anonymous. Nobody knows who really wrote it. In another anonymous book in the Bible, anonymous. One King, chapter 4, verse 26, it says, and Solomon had 40,000 skulls of horses. What is there? 4 or 40? It's only a difference of a zero. I said, three. I beg your pardon. I said, the Jews didn't know the zero. They wrote 40. 4 equal you are 4 in Hebrew, and there were 40 equal you are 40. Is God the author of this book? Is he the author? Didn't he know that there was 4 or 40? Difference is 36,000, not 1, 36,000. How can you actually be 36,000? And they said the Bible is in error. It makes no mistake, no error. Contradiction. Birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 verse 16. It says the grandfather of Jesus, grandfather. Joseph is his father, and Joseph's father is his grandfather. The name of his grandfather is Jacob, Yaqub. In the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 23, it says the grandfather of Jesus is alive. Same God. He's telling Matthew to say that the grandfather of Jesus is Jacob, and he's telling Luke to say the grandfather of Jesus is Eli. And there are 6 contradictions in the birth of Jesus being one of the other. Coming from God, Allah says, if he did anyone other than God, he'll find in it many discrepancies. One Samuel, chapter 28, verse 6. Simple, basic, even a child can understand. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, Lord is God, the Lord did not answer him. Saul, the father-in-law of Dawud alayhi salam, father-in-law, he inquired of the Lord, some problem, say, oh, Allah, you know, what shall I do? Allah didn't answer him. One Chronicles, chapter 10, verse 14 says, But he did not inquire of the Lord, therefore God killed him.
One person says the entire God didn't hear, didn't respond. Another one says because he didn't inquire, God killed him. Speaking about the same man.
Contradiction, contradiction. In the two last debates I had, one with Sharosh and one with Sai, both of them, they used a verse from a book called 2 Peter in the Bible. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 21. Where it says, for prophecy never came by the will of man. Prophecy, men telling you, a prophet is telling you about things that is going to happen. Basharat, it never came by the will of man, by his own dreams and fancies, by his own impulse. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. You see, this is what the book says. So all this was written under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The book, the Word of God, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So I said, let us test it, put it to the test. And we are told in the book of Deuteronomy, fifth book of Moses, God Almighty is supposed to be telling him, he's telling this to Peter. Now he told Moses before that, 1,000 years before, he's telling him, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? How are we to know whether this is Allah's word or not? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, in Allah's name, if the thing follow not, if it doesn't happen, not come to pass, that is the thing the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of me. In other words, according to the standard, prophets of God can speak presumptuously on their own, whatever they feel like. We believe that the prophets of God are the mouthpieces of God, and they can speak nothing except what God commands them to say. But they believe that God, the prophet can speak on his own whims and fancies, his own impulses. But the test is, if he says something and if it doesn't happen, he said that is not the thing that Allah has spoken, you shall not be afraid of such a prophet. Such a saying. So we are going to put this one last test. The Jews claim to Palestine. The Jews, they say Palestine belongs to them. And they produce the time disease to Palestine. Where the Bible. This is the title G. This is in the Bible, God Almighty. He promises Ibrahim in Islam. Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 17, verse 8. It says, I give to you, Ibrahim alayhi salam, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger. All the land of Canaan, in other words, the whole of Palestine, has an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. This is the tithing deed of the Jews to Palestine. And they brainwashed the Christians. They brainwashed it. This is Jewish book. They brainwashed the Christians to believe that Palestine was presented by Allah to the Jews. So they can see what's going on in Gaza now. They know what's going on in the West Bank, and they know it's not right. The Americans know that. They see it. They are human after all. They're not all monsters. They see it. The British feel it. The Germans, the French, the Italians, everybody feels that this is not right. People were in their own home for 40 years and enslaved, 20 years and enslaved, and now they're not helping these people, armless people. Defenseless people, it's not right. And they are all praying the question, do serve the Christian. The problem might be, he gave it to the Jews. What can I do? The earth, he says, is the Lord. We also say, it's Allah. Everything belongs to Allah. And the fullness thereof, everything in it is Allah. So if Allah wants to give it to the dog house, who are you? He wants to give it to the pig, who are you? whatever it is, his property, he can give it to whom he likes. You agree? He quickly. And that's property. So he said, look, if God gave it to the Jews, then it is the title of it. And they did it. Since they did it, the Jews and the Christians, the Jews were the Christians, and the Christians now are fighting for him. Every time we go into battle, fighting for our freedom, for our rights, America comes in direct intervention. Why? Because they are broken. Brainwashed. This is the test. This is the geodesign. But the book says that if the thing does not come to pass, that is the thing the Lord has not spoken. It is not from above. So, we don't go outside the Bible. In the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, in the Bible, the same God now is telling. First, he told Moses that I give to the Jews forever. All the land of Canaan, Ibrahim and his children, forever. All the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. Forever. And I will be the God of sheep that they get it, and I will protect them. Now, the same God is telling to Paul, to write the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 9 to 13, and he says there, by faith he sojourned in the land of God, by faith, believing that Allah will give it. Ibrahim alayhi salam went and did it, by faith. As in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heir with him of the same promise. And in the book of Acts, he says, and God gave him no inheritance in it. This is after over 1,000 years. This is God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot upon, not even one step of that. Is this from God? That means God did such a promise? Did God make such a promise that I give you and he didn't give one step of the land? Is God a big bluff? Allah says, Wa'adallahu haq. In the Quran, it says, if the promise is Allah, Wa'adallahu haq, his promise is true. Whatever he promises, give it to you. But the Bible says, no, he didn't get even one square foot of land. Is it true? Is this what the Bible said? Not one square foot of land that I have. And he said this was promised that whole of Palestine was to be finished. It's not the word of God. But even if you concede, if you concede, never mind, we are going to be charitable to the Jews. Despite all the injustice they have done to us. Let's be fair. I said, you know, let's read this again. It says, I will give unto thee, to you, and to thy seed after thee, and your children after you, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. I said, who are the seed of Abraham? So the Jew said, we, the Jew. The Christian said, the Jew. I said, something wrong with you, man. Are you blind? Open the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and you read there. Again and again, you read there. God Almighty says, Ibrahim alayhi salam, after the birth of Ismail, in his old age, he prays to Allah, Ya Bari Ta'ala, this son of mine, you know, if he dies in sickness or something happens to him, who's going to carry on with my good work? Ya Bari Ta'ala, give him this long life, that he will carry on the work. So Allah Bari Ta'ala says, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, he says, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. The dua, the prayer that you made, I heard it. But in that accept. As for Ishmael, I have heard it. 12 princes shall he be given, and I will make him a great nation because he is thy seed. And as for Ishmael, thy son, and as for Ishmael, thy seed, no less than 12 places in the first book of the Bible, Hazrat Ishmael alayhi salam is mentioned as the son and seed of Abraham. Are you blind? Or are you blind? Can't you see this? Aren't you reading it? If this is the book of God, who is Ishmael? If God says in the son, this seed, this son, this seed, who are you to be driving of that right? What right have you to take the Bible away from me? But no, they are programmed like zombies. Whatever the Jews say, the Jewish tell, that's the American dog. Whatever the Jewish 6 million Jews, whatever the third American dog, right here, right there, they will bite. So, brothers and sisters, what is required is that we have to reprogram the Americans. We have to reprogram the British and the French and the Germans that come and ta'ala, come. Come, let us talk. Allah wants us to talk with you. Talk. Ahlul Kitab, ta'ala. Whatever things you make, it's a full house of the sun. Produce your proof. Make the proof, it will produce the Bible.
When the book is produced, the proof is produced, and Allah commands us to demand proof, it presupposes that when the proof is produced, you'll be able to analyze it. Otherwise, it makes no sense. You must be able to analyze his prayer. And when you do that, wallah, you see, our task will be much easier. Because there are good people among them. Among the Jews and the Christians, Allah says, مِنْهُمُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ among them there are faithful people. Among the Jews and the Christians, Allah says, I didn't want to say that. You don't want to say that. Allah says, مِنْهُمُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَكْثَرُهُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ but the majority of them are perverted from this. Now, how to deal with the people? First, أُدُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ invite all to the ways of the Lord to teach them. Well, now that the Hassan is beautiful teaching, وَجَعْدِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنُ and bring them with them in the ways that are best and most good. And to the perverted transgressors, look, I show you a way. Here, little booklet. These things here. These things here. Get them. Master them. You master this one book, there isn't a Christian born who can send it for you. This one little book here. This book is like the stones above the little antique. This is going to be heaven. You remember? Put it out there. He picked up a stone, put it in his son, and he cracked the Zawi's head. This little book and books like these, listed at the back, they can crack the Zawi's head. It is your privilege, my dear brothers and sisters. Take it up and go to town. Don't wait. Check it up. And every person you meet, talk to him. Talk. Talk. Learn to open your mouth. Talk. And you have nothing to be ashamed of. So, I end with this ayah of the Holy Quran. Allah says, this regards to the Bible, these are scriptures, this is for وَيَيْلُونِ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْأَيْدِيهِمْ So, woe to them who write the book with their own hands. ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ Then they receive from Allah. يَسْتَبْدُونِ كَمَنْ تَعِلَىٰ That they may read from it some small reward. وَوَيْلُونَ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَوَيْلُونَ مِمَّا يَكْتُبُونَ So woe to them for what their hands do write. Woe to them for what they earn. This is book of man, man-made, written by the Jews, you know, to serve their own purpose. And this is the claim of the Christian. So we have to reprogram the Christian. Taking out of the curses of the Jews. And you can't do that without studying the book. You have to know what this book is all about to be able to talk to the Christian. And I end with this challenge. Allah says, قُلْ تَلْقُ لَإِنِ اتَّمَعَتِ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنِّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَعْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ That is the whole of mankind and jinn. They would gather together to produce the life of this Qur'an. شَلَّا يَعْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا They will never be able to produce the life of their own, even if their health is that one another with support. وَاَقُرُ تَعْوَانَ And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
Brothers and sisters, after 1.5 hours of deep thought, of thorough knowledge, of sincere declarations, you have listened to Brother Sheikh Ahmed Didar, a man at the age of 70. We pray to the Almighty Allah to give him a more blessed, lengthier, more productive, more useful age, a living example for how a Muslim should serve his faith, should serve humanity at large, should try to guide the misguided, should try to follow the path of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, stemming from the fact that we look upon humanity at large as one family. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, you are all to Adam and Adam is from earth. In your name, in the name of everyone who is here, in the name of the Center for Islamic Da'wah, in the Eastern Brothers, I should thank Brother Sheikh Ahmed Didat and pray to Allah to give him a long and fruitful life, to serve his cause, the Islamic cause, the cause of truthfulness, as much as he can. And now, we have seen after that lengthy discussion that man has a deep need, an inner need into himself to believe in God. Allah the Almighty has implanted in the inner nature of man the love of belief, the belief in God, the one and only God, our Creator, the Creator of the universe and of everything that's in it. The one only God, with no partners, no associates, no parallels, no similitudes. And you could see how the meaning of divinity in Islam is above any other meaning in any other belief. God in Islam cannot be impersonified in the form of a man, or in the form of an animal, or in the form of a tree, or in the form of a statue. God in Islam cannot be delimited by space or time, because he has created space and time. He cannot be impersonified by matter or energy, because he is the originator of matter and energy. Anything that comes to your imagination, Allah is different from that. And that's why in Islam, we are asked to meditate about the qualities of Allah, but not the identity of Allah. Because Allah cannot be comprehended, his identity cannot be comprehended by this stone, by this little tool which is known as the human brain. We can see the meaning of prophethood in Islam, the meaning of betterhood in Islam, the meaning of revelation in Islam. We can see the unity of the revelation from the day of Adam, peace be upon him, to the day of Muhammad, peace be upon him. One unified long chain that has been unfolded throughout the history of humanity to be finally integrated in the message of Muhammad, peace be upon him. And as I have said earlier, the only revelation within the hands of humanity today that has been kept intact in exactly the same language was revealed with, to the minutest detail, word by word and letter by letter, is the Holy Quran. And for every human being who believes in God, who believes in death after this life, who believes in resurrection after death, who believes in accountability, who believes in judgment, who believes in eternity in the afterlife, either eternity in paradise forever or eternity in hellfire forever. Every human being who respects his intelligence,